If y'all would, let's go to Psalms 127. Psalms 127. Last week we talked about cultural assimilation. This is one thing that we've been talking about during this time of the Hanukkah season. A lot of people in Hebrew roots, they don't like the idea about Hanukkah. You know, the word Hanukkah means dedication. And if we can't rededicate our life to the Father, then we're in trouble. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, there are certain times in our lives, and Israel is a prime example through history where they have done great at times and they were awful at times. Amen. And they had to rededicate. And there's times they had to build an altar and they had to go through the motions. They had to bring sacrifices. And sacrifices in the scripture that we've gone through in Leviticus chapter 1 through 5, in those chapters. The reason why the sacrifices are important is because it's about drawing near. That's why we, as Paul said, we have our bodies as living sacrifices today. Guys, if we get into this and it doesn't cost us anything, it cost us something. It cost us our very life. It cost Yahweh Elohim, His Son's life. So it's costing us our life to do this. But what has happened, and I'm just going back, is we're going to have this conference come up this weekend coming up. You know, I don't know what Brad and Bill and Halisa, I don't know what they're ministering on. I'm sure it's going to go around the theme of Hanukkah and some areas of prophecy or whatever. But here's the thing for us. Where we are at today in this cultural assimilation, and I've said this before, over the last 8 years since a administration had been in, one thing that happened during that administration, it changed the culture in the United States of America. They changed the culture where there was anti-military, it was anti-police, it was anti-anything that was good. When I mean that, I mean in righteousness standings. We ended up with gay marriage, we ended up with all of this kind of stuff that showed up on the scenes, and to where now we have a good friend of ours is now having to go to court over what she believes this wrong. And the thing is things have changed. And I've said this before. I know that in days of old, whenever I was a young puppy, I know that's a long time ago, wasn't it? Long time ago. I'm an old dog now. But what happened is, you know, me and Bill, we talked about these things. You know, Tam's dad, who was pastor here. One day these things are coming, one day. But I didn't know he was going to leave us and we were going to have to go through it. But the day is upon us, especially in this day and time. And I will tell you this, my dad passed away. He was 80 when he passed away. And even though he passed away in the year 2002, if he was resurrected today, he wouldn't know what country he's in. I mean, really and truly, if he watched the news, he wouldn't know what he was watching, what he was seeing. And that's only been a few years ago. And things are happening. So what are we talking about with Hanukkah? We're talking about what happened to the Jewish people during the time of Alexander the Great when he went through and he Hellenized everything to where he brought in pantheon, he brought in different gods, and he says, look, you can worship Yahweh, but you're going to allow these other gods to be worshipped too if the people want to. And the Torah definitely tells you after the first commandment is Yahweh is Elohim. But the second one is know what? Idolatry. I mean, it's sort of like at the top of the list. Why? Because that is what's going to anger Yahweh against you, and it's going to draw you away from Him. This is why idolatry is at the pinnacle of everything. So in verse 1, this is a song of ascent of Solomon. Y'all know these songs. We've been over them a million times, but I just wanted to build this here again. Unless Yahweh builds the house, those who build it do what? Labor in vain. And the vain means emptiness. In other words, if Yahweh builds the house, it can stand and it'll be blessed. But if He doesn't build it, you can build and build and build and it comes to emptiness. Unless Yahweh watches over the city. This is why I had this city. The city of Jerusalem during the time of Yeshua, if Yahweh is not watching over this city, I don't care about these walls. These walls don't do anything if Yahweh's not watching over them. Because What happened at Jericho? The wall came down. You see, they thought they were comfortable in their fortified city. Yahweh fixed that with a little bit of a shout, Teruah. Amen? And that wall came down, and they went in and they took it. But it says this, unless Yahweh watches over the city, the watchman, even the people that are designed to watch for alarm, stays awake in vain. They can stay awake all night long, but unless Yahweh is in charge of this thing, they're going to stay awake in vain because it's not going to do any good. Because even though they blow an alarm, you're going to be defeated. It is in vain that you rise up early and you go late to rest, eating bread of anxious toil, life of high stress. For he gives to his beloved sleep, shalom, rest. Only he can give that, guys. Behold, children are heritage. This is what we talked about today. Our heritage of Yahweh and the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows, I want you to hear this, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Now, I'm not going to go here, but Ephesians 6:16 says this, the reason why we have the shield of faith is to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So guess what? You have arrows and you have darts. The thing about it is our children will be arrows in the hand of a mighty father, or they will be darts in the hand of Satan. Our children's going to be one or the other. We will become one or the other. There's only two choices. The scripture tells you, you be arrows or you will be darts, fiery darts. Because we see what has happened to children who has not had proper, well, I just say this. There's children that's had great spiritual education that's backslidden, that's fallen away. Just the way it is. But he's saying this, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children of one's youth. This is what we want to do, is raise up arrows here in this assembly. Blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them. Because why? Arrows bring blessings. Darts bring shame. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks of his enemies in the gates. Now we talked last week about cultural assimilation is a process by which a person or group language and or culture comes to resemble those of another group. Harry Potter. Anybody ever heard of Harry Potter? I know you have. Here's the thing. Harry Potter is where this lady wrote books, and from books have movies, and from movies have merchandise, and it's about magic, witchcraft, and all of that, okay? They have grossed over $25 billion. All right, now, there's another character, because there's one coming out, and his name is Thor. Now, I talked about this a while back. When I say a while back, it was a few years ago. A lot of people thought I was nuts and all this kind of stuff. But here's the thing. Thor is a god. Now, what is it? The comic books and Marvel Comics and all this has this. Odin. Because we're at this season, and I'm going to read a little article here that was Adam Berkowitz, and it comes from Israeli News. It was just a news article. I just want to read a little something about what he wrote. And I thought it was interesting, especially about this time and season that we're living in. By the time that I mentioned this thing about Thor, a few years now they're on their third movie. And just the movie alone has grossed over $2 billion. Okay? Now, I don't know about the merchandise. You add all the merchandise. Now, here's the question. The question is how many believers in Yeshua, how much money is gone to this? Probably half? Probably 80%. I hate to say it. So what is happening? What is happening is magic, witchcraft, the dark side, all of this stuff. Guess what it does? It goes into gates. Do we have five senses? The Father gives us five senses so that we can have some sense. Amen? So we have gates. And this is the reason why I have this city. Look at this city. This city has a wall for a reason. What is the wall for?
Protection.
Protection. But to be able to get in and out of the city, it has to have what?
Gates.
It has to have gates. For us to be able to function in this life, we have to have gates. I have to be able to see, hear, smell, taste, and feel. These are natural senses or gates that he gives us. Now, they will tell you if somebody who is blind, his ear gates are highly sensitive. In other words, if you lose a gate, other gates become highly sensitive to your surroundings so that you can know. I don't know how in the world, because you go into a certain place, to like a restroom, if somebody who's blind, they have Braille. And I watched those little bumps on there. I felt those little bumps. I'm like, you got to be sensitive to know man or woman by the little bumps. You know what I mean? Because if you walk in there, you're not defiled because you can't see. But you don't want to go in a place you're not supposed to go. But evidently, the feel, when you lose your feel, is highly sensitive to be able to know how to read Braille, to know what you're doing, communicate. So what am I saying here? Are we protecting these gates? Do we have watchmen on the wall? Do we have watchmen that we're, what are we reading? What are we seeing? Are we saying, oh, it don't matter, that's just a cartoon? Or it doesn't matter, that's just fantasy, or that's just a comic, or that's just a whatever, whatever. But you know what? The message that comes from these things are important. The message is important. Because I'm telling you that whenever I started reading and I started doing some of these things, and I mentioned this, look, I didn't know nothing about Thor. I ain't went to see Thor. I don't know Thor. Thor lost his hammer. I'm all excited. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But here's the deal. But when it hit me, because we have children, we have these young adults in here, what are we feeding their minds? Because one day you're going to wake up and they're going to be a rebellious seed in your house, and you're going to say, where did I miss it? Where did I miss it? And it could be books, it could be television, it could be movies, it could be anything. Now, I'm not anti-television or anything like that, but I'm anti what comes in on it. That's right. That is definitely because we're to be watchmen. And if you're going to have a thriving, safe city, you better have your gates protected. Amen. Because I'm telling you, the enemy wants to come in the gates. If you look outside of this picture, there's not a whole lot going on. So if a robber's out there, he ain't going to really do too well. Where does he want to get the merchandise is inside the city where the people live. The people in that city were dependent upon the military or the king or whatever it is, Israel of that day, to keep them safe. So understand this, that we have to protect the gates. And you know what? Me being a shepherd, this is why I'm on this. Because I'm going to read you a scripture here in just a moment to where I have to say this. I don't get into your business. Amen. I don't get into your business. And most of you will know that I don't. But there are certain areas that I am compelled to minister to you. You need to hear. And I'm going to show you the scripture that tells me, because it all deals with a watchman. It all deals with this calling that we have. So whenever I was talking about Thor a few years ago, people were like, yeah, yeah, and all of that. Now, he's a Norse god. There was Odin. Odin was the father of all of this going on. In other words, he had two sons, and he cast Thor down to the earth. Now, this thing will play exactly according to Greek mythology. Yeah, I don't believe this. According to Greek mythology, thank you. But this is what he was doing. But you know what? It patterns the same thing of you have Yahweh in heaven, and Lucifer is cast down to the earth. It has the same parallels of the life. But yet, Thor is the hero. So guess what? Who are they portraying as the hero? Satan is what they're doing in this earth, and not Odin. In other words, Yahweh is a bad deal. That's what they're trying to portray here. So all of that went along, and then all of a sudden, Tammy come upon this article through a feed, and it says, Icelandic paganism making comeback as temple to Odin nears completion. In Iceland, they're building a temple to Odin, the god. Now, Odin, if you go read the history, he's the one who rides over in his sled, pulled by whatever they're pulling, and he's watching over his people to see if they're naughty and nice. That's what he does. It says that. That's the history of it. Isaiah 2:20, Adam starts out with this scripture. On that day, men shall fling away to flying foxes and to bats, to idols of silver and idols of gold, which they made for worship. It says, as the Norse religion made a roaring comeback in Iceland, the Astru Society, now I'm going to say that I think that's the way it is. It's A-S-A-T-R-U, Astru. This Astru Society is expected to finish construction of a new temple, the first structure dedicated to the Norse god Odin in over 1,000 years. Now, you think it's a cartoon? Or do you think it's fantasy now? These people built a temple. They're building a temple because this is about worship. This is about assimilation. You can do your Yahweh thing, but you need to do these things too. Tolerate it and this, that, and the other. Assimilate. That's what happened to the people of Israel that allowed all of this worship to come in during the time of what we call Hanukkah now. The Icelandic Astru religion allows the belief system of the Old Norse religion or Germanic neo-paganism. The followers worship the ancient Norse gods such as Odin, Thor, and Freyja. And that's a woman goddess, I guess. Because I looked it up. She was a woman. I don't know what she does. I didn't really want to know what she does. There have been no temples to the Norse god in Iceland for over 900 years. But in 2015, the society, reestablished in 1972, began construction of the modern temple in their capital of Iceland. It is expected to be ready for sometime use this summer, and the final cost will be $1.25 million. It ain't the money, but they're expecting it to be done the summer coming up in 2018. Now listen, now they're not mixing this. They're just flat telling you. The pagan religion is making a comeback in Iceland. They're not telling you, and they're not trying to hide it. They're just telling you flat out they're pagan. They're not mixing words. It says, pagan religion is making a comeback in Iceland, necessitating the construction of the new facility. I'm just going to skip a few things. There may be another reason, and I want you to listen to this. There may be another reason for the rise of the Astru popularity. Unlike mainstream Lutheran church that most Icelanders attend, in other words, evidently the Lutheran church is the main congregations that are there in Iceland, the Icelandic version of neo-paganism promotes same-sex weddings. There has been a massive increase in demand for same-sex wedding ceremonies in this last year, an explosion reality. And then it says, Hilmarsson said in an interview in Gay Iceland, noting that many foreign citizens visit Iceland specifically to be married in his pagan service. The pagan belief is very inclusive, and we are all open to all opinions. So we welcome all, gay or straight, Icelandic or foreigners. This ain't fantasy, and this ain't a movie. This is reality. Let me read you this. The major holidays revolved around the changing seasons. This is what Norse is about. This is their main holiday season is in December. The major holidays revolve around the changing seasons, which Yule, Y-U-A-L. Y'all ever heard of Yuletides? Yuletide law? I'm going to read a little bit about that in just a moment. Being the most important. So out of this temple and all of the holidays, Yule is the most important of their celebration, which is celebrated in late December and continuing for 12 days. Like on the first day of Yule, the true love gave to me. Norse paganism went mainstream in 1962 with Marvel Comics, began publishing the comic book series featuring the god Thor and other characters from the North Pantheon. So all they're really saying is a pantheon is just a handful of gods. So Yule, this is up here. Y'all can copy it or do whatever if y'all want to look it up and see that I'm not a flake. We'll do that. Well, I may be a flake, but not a snowflake. Okay, this is what Yule is. You can look it up, whatever. It says the type is cultural, Germanic, pagan. Then, this is why I wanted to read this. Cultural, Germanic, pagan, then Christian. So it goes from Germanic, pagan to Christian. Secular, contemporary, paganism. So what does that say to you? Hellenism. It's a mixture. It all got assimilated. You put a little of Yeshua in here, sprinkle a little Holy Ghost on it, and it makes it good. That's really what they're trying to tell you here. But they keep the very fiber in the core of the belief is still there. But now you put a little bit of sloppy agape on it, like syrup, and everything's good. It says this, the term of the etymological equivalent to Yule is used in the Nordic countries for Christmas with its religious rites, but it also has the holidays for this season. But I just wanted you to know that within this teaching and what we've been going through is really and truly a lot of times, I mean, think about it. Harry Potter, over $25 billion. That's sort of a lot of money. And where does that money come from? It comes from people that's buying merchandise and going. But not only that, what are you allowing? What is it speaking when it's just really out there? Magic, witchery, and all, sorcery, and all of these things. And we read the other day when we were coming out of the other little series, the works of the flesh, they are sort of listed there. And they said, these people who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom. You're opening up those gates. And when you open up those gates, you're opening up things. You're allowing bad situations to get in your city. It does. It sneaks in. And usually it ends up like a slow fade. Because what do? We try to be tolerant. We hear all of this stuff. And you know what? We feel bad. We feel condemned. We feel like we don't love people. You know what? We need to love what Yahweh loves and hate what Yahweh hates. Amen. That's what we have to do. Because if you don't do that, you're going to allow doors to be open, gates to be open, and then all of a sudden you're going to say, how in the world did I get here? How did this happen? Now let me explain something to you. I've said this many times before. You take corn, a kernel of corn, and you plant it. What do you get? One kernel of corn? You get one kernel? No, you get a stalk. There's 3 ears on a stalk. And there's 120 kernels usually per ear. So you plant one positive, you will get many blessings. But if you plant a bad seed, you will reproduce bad seed. Here's the thing. You reap more than you sow, always. You reap more than you sow, and you reap in a different season than you sow. That's why a lot of things we get so messed up, because something slaps us and we say, what did I do? You start thinking of what you did yesterday, or what did I do last night, or what did I do yesterday, and what you did yesterday. How long does it take when you plant something for it to grow to bear fruit? In the natural, it takes time. That's why when you plant bad seed, you're going to reap it in a different season. You need to go back maybe 2 to 3 months ago. What did I? Oh, you know what? I went and I saw this, or maybe I went and I did this, or maybe I said, you know, I was confronted with this and I didn't want to make a scene here. You know, you start, all of a sudden you open doors and you know what? You plant a bad seed. Well, because it doesn't grow tomorrow. But do you know, this is the beautiful thing that we say here. I'm excited because Yeshua said he died for the curse of the law. And you know what we can do? We can repent. We can rededicate our temple. And you know what? We can pray for crop failure. When that stuff starts coming up, he, Yeshua himself, through repentance, can wipe out all of that field of bad seed. That's the beautiful thing about repentance, about being able to dedicate and rededicate. Because when they defiled that temple, they couldn't go back in that temple the way it was. They had to prepare the temple to be able to go back in it. You know, these vessels that they had in there, they were holy and set apart. You couldn't just go in there and just pick one up, just start all over again. People were offering up swine on altars. No, they had to cleanse the temple. That's what repentance does. That's what this word does. Because now we're going to go to us. Because, guys, I have heard in Hebrew roots, people say that you're not the temple of the Holy Spirit. They said that the temple has to be a literal temple. I'm going to read you at the... It is both. But here's the thing. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The thing about it is, in Jeremiah, what did he tell us? Where was he going to write his laws? On our hearts and on our minds. He wants to write it on our hearts because in the beginning, I mean, he set Adam and Eve in the garden. He didn't set a temple in there. He did, which was Adam and Eve. But because he was dwelling in them, because the whole thing was, is he wants to live within sight of us. But anyway, he built, and we know this, he built a tabernacle of Moses first, And the reason why he built that was is so he could come down and he could dwell with us. So he's showing us, bringing us back to where after Yeshua was going to come, he was going to start dwelling back into man's heart. Amen. Yes.
One thing we got to remember is the gates, our gates are operated by the condition of our spirit.
That's right.
It's mind-boggling to me how the Christian church society can watch stuff like, I don't know, y'all remember when Chronicles of Narnia came out. I was in awe at Holy Spirit-filled people that could not see witchcraft dancing around in front of their face. What that tells me, if I allow things into my gates by the conditioning of my spirit, when my spirit is not in the right condition, then the gates get opened and I'm unaware to it.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
So what Mark's saying is absolutely correct. And I thank you because all it's doing is bringing me back to some thoughts I've had years ago that it's crucial what we allow in front of our eyes.
Amen.
But when it don't bother us, if you can allow things in and it don't bother you, listen, that speaks volumes about your spirit.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not throwing rocks. I'm saying that speaks.
That's right.
Go look in the mirror because it speaks volumes on what your spirit has become.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Good word. That's right. Amen. That's right. It is deception. That's right. There is none. And that's a very important point. If you didn't hear what Arnold was saying is if you go through this area of deception, if you become deceived and then you start walking and you allow these gates and you compromise. Here's the thing about compromise. Guys, you can't go in and get in a mess and then all of a sudden just say, well, I don't want to deal with that. I just want a Holy Ghost to wash me and then I want to get over here and start walking clean. No, you're going to have to deal with the mess. You got to deal with the mess because if you don't deal with the mess, all you're going to do is when you go over here is you're going to get in another mess. And then when you don't want to deal with that, you're going to wash yourself and you're going to go over here and guess what? You're in another mess. So the Father has to say, you know what? Let's go back and clean up the mess. We go back and we clean up. This is what dedication is all about. This is what really Hanukkah is all about. It's cleansing. That's the feast and festivals. We go through Pesach. It's about cleansing, getting ourselves prepared and ready. Because, guys, He knows that we're not perfect. He is making us perfect. He's making us complete, but it's a process. Our spirit is made whole, and it is complete. Hallelujah. But our soul is having to be renewed to His Word, because that's what Paul said. Because we have stinking thinking, and this has to be done away with. And you know what? You can be doing great for a time. I can be doing great for a time. I've been a Christian. I'm an old Christian. I've been doing it for a while. But do you know what? You can get to a place to where, just like you say, you get complacent. You can get to a place where you say, well, you know, I've been raised my kids, and I got grandkids. I just want to love them. Let my daughter raise and son-in-law raise the kid. You can't rest. You can't rest. Because the thing about it is kids are still looking to their grandparents. They're still looking for a rock in their life. They still have security to that. You know what I'm saying? And then there's the children and this, that, and the other. Hey, look, I know when you get old, you get gray hair, starts falling out, your teeth turn yellow. You know, one of my grandkids the other day, he said, you know, Saba, you got yellow teeth. And one of the grandkids, Saba, he ain't got yellow teeth, they brown. Brown? I said, I'd have took the yellow. I said, you ain't helping none. And now this grandkid really thought that he was really helping Saba out. I'm like, heavenly days. Man, I need to go stick my head in a bucket of bleach. Had to burn all my hair out, at least my teeth would be white. I stay off the Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew's killing my teeth, I tell you. There you go. Got amen up here. But I'm just saying, but kids are, they know what's happening. They're depending upon their grandparents. They're depending. And we talked about dedicating our children up here. Guys, I'm telling you, we have to be a strong force. We cannot bend or we cannot break. Because I'm telling you, most of the times, I'm just saying, medieval stuff. When I was a kid, all of this stuff was just fantasy to me. I didn't know they ever had a real temple. I never knew. And you know what? Most of the time during that time, they didn't have. But now, you know what? People are taking to this. And what is idolatry all about? What did during the Bible times, as we say, why did they have idols and foreign gods? Do you know the reason? The only reason why man made these. There are none. There are no Baal or Baal. There is no Odin. There is none of this stuff. What do you do? You don't want to do what Yahweh wants you to do. So what do? You create something so you will feel okay sinning. Because if you sin and you feel, you blame the gods. That way you ain't going to, it ain't my fault. And what do? All we're wanting to do is soothe our conscience in sinning and doing wrong. That's really all it is. And they've been doing it from the beginning. We ain't no different today. We create all of this stuff so we can fulfill the lust of the flesh and blame somebody else and be okay about it. One day, each individual in this room is going to stand before Yahweh himself, before Yeshua himself, and we're going to give account. Whether it's on reel-to-reel, 8-track, CD, whatever he's going to use during that time, he's going to flip that dude on, that projector on. And if you're not dedicated, and if you're not repentant, if you don't have the blood of Yeshua over most of these reel-to-reels, you're going to be shamed to a big place. Amen? But that's the thing about repentance and the blood of being forgiven is, you know what? Yeshua burns those tapes. Yeah. That's what I'm anxious in my life, to have a lot of these tapes burned. Amen? That's what it's about. Unless Yahweh builds the house. If he doesn't build the house, guys, it's going to crumble. And if Yeshua is not the chief cornerstone, you're off in a wrong direction. You know what I'm saying? This is the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying today. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 6, real quick. The word of Yahweh came to me. Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from among you and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take the warning and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood is to be upon his own head. He hears the sound of the trumpet and he did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But if he has taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, hello, pastors. Hello, ministry. Hello, fivefold ministry. But if the watchman, fivefold ministry, sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, teruah, sound of an alarm to protect the people, so that the people are not warned, the sword comes and takes any one of them, then the person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hands. That's strong. And so during this day and this time, and the reason why we're doing what we're doing, we talked about cultural seminar. I'm just telling you guys, it has overtaken the body of Messiah. Cultural assimilation has overtaken the body of Messiah. Because I will tell you this, has anybody ever heard of Vacation Bible School? You hear that, okay? I was raised in that. There was one, the Vacation Bible School, the theme was Marvel Comics. Batman, Superman, the whole thing. Yeshua can be your Batman, Yeshua can be your deal, and it's right up there. And I saw all of that stuff, and so what they're doing is they're using what's popular to the kids to get them excited, because why? They're into all of this stuff. And you know what? They lose their children, and they say, what did I do wrong? And they can't figure it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got them written up here if you just want to go through them with me. This is who we are. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are Elohim's temple and that Elohim's spirit dwells in you? So if we're talking about a temple, let's just look up here. Now, there's a temple up here on the top right, but this is a city. But understand this, if Yahweh is dwelling in these walls, the enemy ain't in there. If anyone destroys Yahweh's temple, Yahweh will destroy him. I want to put a new light on this right here. I want you to think about this thing. Now, we collectively, not only here at River of Life, but all over the world, those who are believers in Yeshua, that's doing what needs to be doing, is the temple. I'm not the temple personally. I'm just part of the body. We all make up the temple. Amen? That's what it is. The temple is not one stone. It's many stones put together. I want to give you this understanding that the temple is the body of Messiah. You can say the bride. You can say a lot of different analogies. But this is what this is about. It says, if anyone destroys Elohim's temple, Elohim will destroy him. For Elohim's temple is holy, and what? And you are that temple. Now that word holy means to be set apart. But understand this. Stones. Understand this. We need to be as stones in that temple. We need to be doing our part. Because if we're not doing our part, he can remove that stone. That stone becomes a weak part in his temple and can cause, let me just say it like this, Adam. Adam made one mistake. He made a mistake, or whatever you want to call it. But what did it cost him when he made that mistake? The garden. It cost him everything. He got cast out of the garden. Because you know why? There was something precious in that garden, the tree of life. It was in that garden. And that was one thing he said. He said, if we leave him in this state and he takes the tree of life, he's going to be eternally in this state. Boy, I'm glad he kicked us out of the garden. Amen. And guess what did he do? When he kicked him out of the garden, he put two cherubim with two flaming swords guarding the what? The gate, the entrance. There was a gate to the garden. Two cherubim, flaming swords, guarding a gate so he couldn't get back in. So you don't think that Yahweh's serious about sin? Church world today is not serious. But he is serious about sin. He's serious about his word. He's serious about us obeying it and doing it and walking in it and not playing around in the mud. He wants us to be white-garmented people. Amen? Not because we're somebody. No, because he's somebody. Amen? That's what it's about. We are to represent him. The body of Messiah is really in a bad way. And he's telling you, if we play a part of destroying his temple, we will be destroyed. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll just finish up with that one. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Messiah with Thor? You could say it that way. Or what accord does the Messiah have with Harry Potter? What accord does Messiah have with witchcraft and witchery and all of that stuff? But he's saying, what accord has Messiah with Belial? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What's that portion that you share? There is none. What agreement has the temple of Elohim with idols? And what he's telling you is if you're full of idolatry, guess what? You ain't in agreement. You may think you are, but you're not. One of these days, there's going to come a time where there's 10 virgins, and that day is now. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish, but they were all called what? Virgins. They were all waiting for the resurrection. Lost people ain't called virgins. Lost people ain't sitting in a bar eating peanuts waiting for the resurrection. These 10 virgins are waiting, but 5 are not prepared. 5 are culturally assimilated, is what I'm saying here. And what do? They don't think it matters. They don't think they have to have the oil. They started with the oil. The others were prepared. What were they? They're doing the Torah. They're walking out the Torah. They're doing Shabbat. They're doing the feast and festivals. They're learning. They're growing. They're raising their children to be a holy seed in this earth. The others just say, it don't matter. I go watch what I want to do. I do what I want to. But guess what? He came when? At midnight. How many people has been to a wedding at midnight? Not too many people that I know of. Usually you're in bed at midnight. But he comes because what? It said they all slumbered and they all were asleep. The church as a whole is asleep. The body of Messiah as a whole is asleep. It's just in comatose mode. You hear what I'm saying? And so what's happening is this. is he's trying to get some shepherds around here, fivefold ministry, to start blowing some horns, to start blowing a shofar and start waking this thing up, because he's going to return. And the bad thing about it is, and this is, I'm not in control of anybody else. He has called me to shepherd these people in this place. And I'm going to try to keep you awake as best I can. I'll shake you, spit on you, do whatever I got to do, but I'm going to try to keep you awake. I'm going to try to keep you awake. I'm going to try to teach and stay awake. And you know what? I'm going to try my best. My wife's trying to keep me awake. So we're trying to keep people awake. That's what we're trying to do here, because I'm going to tell you something. When he returns, and I say this, and I'm going to finish with this. I just say this, guys. They were looking. During the time the Hebrew people were looking, they're still looking for the Messiah to return. But they were looking for Yeshua to return. Scriptures, full of scriptures in the Torah and the prophets about the birth, about the death, burial, and resurrection, all of that happening. His own people didn't recognize him. He was resurrected, walking, not with two men, walking with two of his disciples on the road. And they didn't recognize him until there was something that he said, and they were illuminated by who he was. All I'm trying to say is what makes us so special that we will recognize him when he returns? The only way you're going to recognize him is in this word. Not by stories, not by jokes, not by analogies, but by this word of knowing when he's going to come and what's going to happen. We need to be doing what he says to be doing. We need to be celebrating when he says to be celebrating. We need to be looking when he says to be looking. Times and seasons are so important. Being here on Shabbat, he says, you being here on Shabbat is a sign to the people that drive by here. You being here are a sign to the people that we're in a relationship. Doesn't matter what they think. Doesn't matter anything about that. That's what Yahweh said. I can't make people that drive by think anything or not think anything. But he can. He can, but it is a sign. How many people know that there's... I'm going to ask a question. How many people obeyed the speed limit signs coming here today? And nobody ever... There you go. There's two or three. Amen. There you go. We got one little girl can't drive. Amen. She obeyed it, though, and she's telling the truth because she didn't get behind the wheel. She obeyed it. I appreciate the honesty. But here's what I'm saying. What am I saying? Signs tell you what to do, where to go, and all of... If you don't obey the signs, what good are they? But Yahweh gives us signs for us to follow a direction, and that direction is him. And he gives it to us, and then we say, well, you know what? We can just create any old day we want to worship because he loves me. You know what? That has never been the question. Does Yahweh love me? The question is do I love him? That's the question. And John said it like this. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's how you show it. Because it ain't about what comes out of my mouth that sounds like an auction. That ain't what it's about. It's what I'm doing. Where are we at? What are we doing when his word tells us to do it? And I say this many times, he's a merciful Elohim. Because I know we're not doing everything perfect. I understand that. If I understand we were doing something wrong, we would change it. We've been changing over time. Hallelujah for the changes. But the thing about it is, he judges, think about this. This is what Hebrews says. He judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He's going to judge the actions. He's going to do the actions. When you read that verse, he judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What is he saying? He's judging what you would have done if nobody else was looking. What would you have done? If you knew you weren't going to get caught or whatever, he judges that. Let's pray. Children will play in the streets of the city. Joy will be heard once again.